1 Peter chapter 2 this morning, if you want to turn there. Peter here giving us some direction, if you will, about being a servant of God. Now, this passage is not so much about what we're to do as a servant of God. We've already talked about that, but it's more about what we should be as a servant of God, what God wants from us as His servants. And we find in this beautiful passage at least seven traits of the servants of God, beginning in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So that's our passage today, and our title is As the Servants of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your precious word. The privilege for us to assemble here today and open it together and hear from the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would be in control of our service. You would guide us in your truth. You would speak to hearts miraculously and change lives. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, may they realize, as Jesus said, they must be born again if they hope to see heaven. I pray for those of us that are believers, that it would be our desire to be a servant, but a biblical servant of thee. So have your will and way in our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, this is what God wants from us if we're going to be one of his servants. We've talked extensively this year about what he wants us to do, but this is about what he wants us to be. Amen. As his servants, the kind of example he wants us to be to the world. And that's where we find ourselves in verses 13 and 14 is he wants us to be a good citizen. Now, remember, when these were written by Peter, most Christians lived in places where Christianity was frowned upon. Often people would be attacked. They would lose their jobs. They might be ostracized from their families. Christianity was not popular in Bible days. And yet, the command of Scripture is that they be good citizens, that they do their best to follow the laws of the land and be a good example as a good citizen. Notice it says, verse 13, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." There's a sister passage in Romans 13, if you want to turn there quickly. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." So God makes it very clear that he wants his servants to be an example of good citizens, wherever they happen to find themselves. And again, most of the people who this would have been written to originally lived in places where Christianity was you were the enemy. But that did not, in God's program, give them an excuse to rebel or whatever. Titus 3:1 says, "We're to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates." So the first thing that God tells us here when he's outlining what kind of servant he wants is that we be good citizens. Then in verse 15, what does he want but for us to be a good Christian? In other words, do good works, be an example of Christianity to the world, not only by being a good citizen, but by being a good Christian. Look, he says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men," that we be a good person, essentially, that we obey the Scriptures, that our behavior is a reflection of our profession. We profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Our lives should show that. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men," Matthew 5:16, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In chapter 2, verse 12, which we didn't look at yet, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. So again, doing the right thing, doing good works, obeying God's word. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 1. And Paul here, again, reminding us that we have a heavy responsibility to be what we claim to be in our behavior, and that is a Christian, a follower of Almighty God. Notice Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The day you got saved, you were called by God to be a Christian. Amen? To be a servant, as we're reading here, to be a soldier, and to be a steward. Paul says, I want you to walk worthy of that. I want your life to be a reflection of me, essentially is what God is saying. That with well-doing, we can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The Bible says in Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your behavior, your demeanor, be a reflection of the gospel. So this is what God is after from his servants, that we be good citizens, that we do good works scripturally. And then number 3, verse 16 of 1 Peter 2, he says, as free, aren't you thankful that you're free from the law? Aren't you thankful that you're free from sin? Jesus said he gave us full freedom. You shall be free indeed, he said. He says, but don't use that freedom or your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. In other words, we have this liberty, we have this freedom, but we should use it to serve, to work for God. Not to say, well, I have freedom, I can do whatever I want, and to serve sin. Like he says, a cloak of maliciousness. God says in Galatians 5:13, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then look at Ephesians 6:6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. You and I, the day we got saved, we became the servants of God. Notice Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, there's many Christians not in church today because they were serving for the wrong reasons. They were serving man, or they were serving a pastor, or they were serving to get praise from man or whatever, and they got hurt and they quit serving. But the Bible never gives us an out, if you will, to stop serving him. It's just not in the scriptures. If we're serving because we love God, that never changes. Amen? No matter what the circumstances are, no matter whether we get hurt somehow or whether we have major trials in our life, God still saved us from hell. God still gave us eternal life. He still gave us his presence, and he still expects us to serve, to be his servant. Tychicus was referred to by Paul as a fellow servant in the Lord in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. That's what God wants us to be, fellow servants. Don't use your liberty for sin, but use it to serve. Amen? As the servants of God. So what does God want? He wants us to be a good citizen. He wants our conversation or our life to be a reflection of our profession as Christians. And he wants us to serve him. He wants us to work. Always abounding, 1 Corinthians 15:58, in the, anybody know the next word? Work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. Verse 17, we have four things in one verse. 1 Peter 2:17. What does he say? Honor all men. Just three words. Honor all men. What does that mean? Well, as Christians, we're to be like Jesus. Amen? And when Jesus was on earth, he always put others first, didn't he? That was how he was. And he wants us to be the same. He wants us to honor all men. Notice Romans chapter 12, verse 10 is an example. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. To treat everyone with respect, with kindness, with love, to honor all men. Notice Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Philippians 2:3 says, let each esteem other better than themselves. And of course, 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness. So we're to honor all men. We're to treat everyone with love and kindness as the servants of God. Then he says, that's for everyone, but then he says, now if when it comes to Christians, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. We talked about this in our Galatians study two Wednesdays ago, but Galatians 6:10, if you want to turn there, beautiful verse. It talks about how we're to do good unto all men, which is what this is talking about. Galatians 6:10, he says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's brothers and sisters in Christ, especially to Christians. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He said, people are going to know you're Christians because of how you treat one another. In Romans chapter 16, Paul wrote to the church and he mentioned Phoebe. And he said, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. That's what God wants us to be. A servant of the church. 1 Peter 1:22, turn over there quickly. We are to love the brotherhood. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what unfeigned means? It means genuine, means not fake. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Isn't that good? Fervently. So we're to honor all men. We're to love the brotherhood. Look at verse 17 again of chapter 2. Two words. As the servants of God, we are to what? Fear God. Fear God. The Bible has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord, doesn't it? Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Other places it says it's the beginning of knowledge. It all starts with the fear of the Lord. When Solomon was finishing his book of Ecclesiastes, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God. First thing he said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, revere God. And look at Acts 9:31. We see an example in the early church about fearing God. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It means living our lives with complete reverence and respect to the Lord. Notice Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. And then Hebrews 12:28, if you turn there quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. The Bible says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear. You know, Matthew 10, Jesus said, fear not them which can kill the body. Fear him which can destroy body and soul in hell. We're not to fear man. We're not to fear the devil. We're to fear God. And as God's servants, he wants us to walk as the early church did in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They that fear the Lord hate evil, the Bible says in Proverbs. And then he finishes with a very interesting statement, verse 17 of 1 Peter 2, honor the king. So he starts with being a good citizen and finishes with being a good citizen. Isn't this fascinating? Proverbs 24:21, if you want to turn there. Solomon giving advice, giving heavenly wisdom to God's followers here in Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King. Isn't that something? Fear the Lord and the King. And then 1 Timothy 2, if you want to turn there quickly, verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1. God making it very clear again that we're to honor the King. Have there been evil kings? Most kings have been evil, haven't they? I mean, you look at Israel and all the kings that they had. Every now and then you'd have a good one, but most of them were bad. Sinful, leading Israel astray. And yet God never said you can't honor the King. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How often do we pray for our leaders? We might disagree with them, which is very common when we're Christians and our leaders aren't. But we're to pray for them. That's what it says here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. So it is scriptural that we honor the King, that we pray for our leaders. As the servants of God, or as Ephesians said, as the servants of Christ, God wants us to be godly servants. Amen. Yes, we're to serve, we're to work, as we've talked about. That's our theme this year. Go work for Jesus. Put your gifts to use. But this is the kind of servant God wants. A servant that will be a good citizen. A servant that will do good works and display his Christianity through his behavior. A servant who puts his gifts to practice. A servant who honors all men, loves the brotherhood, fears God, and honors the King. It's a good summary of what God wants from us as his servants. I hope we are his servants. I hope we're born again Christians. And if we are, we've been called to serve God with all that we are. Amen. And there's so many ways we can serve God. God has given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us the time. So let's use it to serve him. But as we do, let's be this kind of a servant. Amen. A godly servant. A servant, a scriptural servant. As the servants of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us today that we are your servants. Jesus said, he that is among you shall be your greatest among you shall be your servant. And I pray that that would be our heart's desire, is to serve you with all that we have, all that we are. And Lord, that we would do it biblically. We would be this kind of a servant. And Lord, if you've spoken to our hearts, may we make the corrections we need to make as Christians. And again, Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, may they realize you love them, you died for them, you rose again for them, and you offer them eternal life if they will but repent and trust you as Savior. I pray they'll do that today. Thanks for speaking to our hearts.